We've been going through the last several weeks, and we'll be going all the way till December, or to Christmas time. Stories in Exodus and in Numbers. We call it in the wilderness for a reason, because we've seen the children of Israel. Not only are they literally in the wilderness because they left Egypt and they were supposed to go into a promised land, but they didn't go because they didn't trust God, and now they're actually wandering in the wilderness. And their physical condition is actually symbolic of their spiritual condition. We're going to look into more of that this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading Numbers 20. But before we go into that, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship you, a holy God. We thank you for loving us, sinful people. May we never forget the story, the message of the gospel. We need help. We need a Savior. And you sent Jesus, your one and only Son, to live that perfect life, to die on the cross, to raise again on the third day for us. May that cause in our hearts joy and worship. Thank you for this family here at Wintersburg. Thank you that we are now adopted into this unique family. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for one another, to receive prayer as well. Lord, we pray for those in our church who are hurting, physically going through some difficult times, pain, spiritually or emotionally, even relationally and financially, Lord. Not only do we ask your Spirit to be working in their lives, Lord, use us, brothers and sisters, to encourage, to help, support, to be a hand for you. Thank you for this time of worship. May we glorify you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you think of the word frustration, certain words come to our mind. Discouragement, anger, annoyance, because of unresolved problems, unfulfilled goals or desires. If you have spent any time in this world, you know what it is to be frustrated. If you live in Orange County and you drive around in traffic at 5 p.m. on a work day, you know what it is to be frustrated. And if we're honest, we exhibit frustration far too often. This emotion, frustration, is something that we normally look over and we pass off as normal behavior. I mean, we get frustrated. I get frustrated with our children. Frustration arises from jobs or our life circumstances. We get frustration from the behaviors of others. It's been so tightly woven into the fabric of our lives, we think it's okay, and we brush it off. But the truth of the matter is, frustration is dangerous. In fact, I think frustration is one of those respectable sins like anxiety or worry, because in our minds, it's not that bad. I mean, who doesn't get frustrated? But what we see in our text this morning is that frustration is a sin, and when not dealt with properly, frustration leads to failure. You know, before we start reading, remember the children of Israel are roughly 38 years into the wandering in the desert. The people didn't trust God. They didn't trust Joshua and Caleb in their report of the promised land. And because of their unbelief, God told them, anyone under the age of 20, and Caleb and Joshua, none of you guys will enter the promised land. Everyone would die, except for Joshua, Caleb, and those under 20. The Lord told them they would spend the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness before they were able to enter the promised land. It's been 38 years of wandering and waiting. In fact, as they are poised to enter into the promised land, the congregation of Israel is made up of children, of the people who were rescued out of Egypt. Many of their parents have died on their death, or they're dying, they have died or are on their deathbed. The circumstances, these children, they have forgotten how they got there. And they were tired. And their hearts begin to reveal itself. And we read that in Psalm 20. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read starting in verse 2. Now, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Would that we have perished when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we should die here, both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grains or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." The congregation of Israel, they are frustrated with their situation. There is no water. The manna, the quail that they've been eating is getting old, and they want Moses and Aaron to fix it. They sound annoyed. But here's something to remember. Frustration, it just doesn't come out of nowhere. Frustration is a manifestation of the heart, of a heart that is out of whack. When you are frustrated, there are deeper issues, deeper root problems that need to be dealt with. For Israel, I would suspect, as we look at their heart issues, that they gave way to their frustration. And I suspect that we are going to find out that they are often the same frustrations you and I go through. Israel's first issue, I see, was their disobedience. There's a preacher in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, tells us, there is nothing new under the sun. Isn't that true? I know we like to think that the situation that we're in, no one is dealing with. We believe the lie that our problems are only relevant to us. But the preacher is right. You are not the first, and you will not be the last to experience the difficult situation that you find yourself in. And as you read our text, it kind of sounds like we've heard this before. If you read earlier in Exodus, in this exact same location, the children of Israel had grumbled against Moses and Aaron for the same problem, the lack of water. We find this account in Exodus 17. Maybe you know what happened there. The people were thirsty for water. They were run out of water. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They blamed Moses and Aaron for this situation, but they were really blaming God. But God was gracious to them, and he provided water for them out of the rock. And here we have those children in the exact same situation, experiencing the same frustration that their parents exhibited. Now, if you're like me, you're like, how could this happen? How could this happen again? And what do you mean the disobedience from the parents? Because I would suggest that there was a lack of obedience either from the parents or from the children. Moses had instructed in Deuteronomy 6 that the parents were to teach their children the statutes, the laws, the commands of the Lord. They were to teach the little ones what God had been doing to them in the wilderness. There was only one true God, that he is holy. But Moses also told them, you are to teach that God is good and that we have a gracious Father. And that if they follow these commands of the Lord, that he would provide for them, that he would provide for their daily needs. He told the parents, you are to remind your children, don't put the Lord God to your test. That's what we see in Exodus 17:7. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? The place that the children are at, the congregations find themselves at, it was a reminder, don't put the Lord to the test. God had been good to them, and he was gracious and merciful to the people. And they were supposed to tell the children that. And when you see that rock, this rock that we're at right now, we're supposed to be reminded, don't put the Lord God to the test. This rock is the reminder that he provides for our needs. But perhaps there was a failure in communication for the parents, because we find the children in the same spot doing the same things their parents did. Parents, this is a sobering reminder for you, for me. Those of us who are in authority, those of us who teach children, you and I have a responsibility to communicate the commands, the statutes of the Lord to our children. We must warn them and teach them about the lessons that the Lord has taught us. We must tell them of the wonderful things the Lord has done for us. Perhaps the parents were disobedient. We don't know. The text doesn't say. But something went wrong. But if it wasn't the parents, perhaps it was the children. Children here, young men and young women, there is a responsibility on your part as well. The fifth commandment says that children are to obey your parents. Children, young men and young women, when your parents, when church leaders or teachers speak the commands of the Lord to you, you are to listen to them. You are instructed to follow them. So perhaps it was the children who were disobedient. Again, we don't know. The text doesn't tell us. Whatever the case, the ball was dropped. The issue is, the ball was dropped. One of the parties was disobedient, and it led to failure. Either the disobedience of the children or the parents led to frustration at Meribah. But it wasn't just Israel's frustration, it's their disobedience that led to frustration. That the frustration that they were exhibiting was a manifestation of a heart that felt entitled. The children of Israel here, they're annoyed. They're indignant. Their attitude is revealing. Their attitude is, we deserve better. Have you brought us all the way here for this? There's no water, there's no figs, there's no pomegranates. We can't even plant in this place. Moses and Aaron, how do you expect us to live like this? There's this, we deserve better. That's their attitude. Brothers and sisters, feeling like you are owed something is guaranteed to produce frustration, especially when you don't get what you deserved. Martha thought she was owed recognition from Jesus. When Jesus came over to Mary and Martha's house, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was in the kitchen. She was busy cleaning up. She was maybe doing the dishes. And she came to Jesus frustrated because she didn't get the recognition that she thought she deserved. The older brother thought he deserved the party more than the prodigal son. He was out squandering your money, Dad. And you're going to throw him a party? I've been here the entire time. And you're throwing him a party? The older brother was frustrated because he didn't get what he thought he deserved. Frustration had plagued Israel throughout the wilderness, and they just couldn't see that. The Lord, they couldn't remember. They kept on forgetting all that the Lord had done for them. And none of it they deserved. Because they couldn't see what the Lord was doing for them, they grew frustrated. And in frustration, brothers and sisters, as I said, frustration leads to failure. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They sinned against God by questioning his goodness and his purposes for them. They even tell Moses, it would have been better if we were killed. How? And they even call the place that they're in right now evil. Complaining is a sin. And I know we talked about this last time. We're going to talk about this again next time, next week. But perhaps as we study this, perhaps the Lord is bringing this up for a purpose, for us. I don't know. But what I do know is the frustration that leads to complaining is a sin against God himself. Because why? It calls out God's name. God is good. God is faithful. God is merciful. And he is loving. And he is patient. He has all these attributes. God is his attributes. They make up his name. And so to question God at not being any of these, saying that God is not good, that he is not merciful, that he is not patient, or that he is not kind, is to say he is not true to his name. They sinned against God by complaining. Israel's frustration led to sin. It led to failure. And let's be honest. You read this account, you understand Exodus, we understand Numbers, and Israel has been stumbling and bumbling through their wilderness this entire time. The fact that they got frustrated and failed, we see this in the entire wilderness. But the next scene we're going to look at is tragic. It's shocking. But I think if we understand it rightly, we will see God and his good purposes on full display. So upon hearing the complaints of the people, Moses and Aaron, what do? It says they went to the tent of meeting and they fell on their face as a show of humility, to show that they need the Lord, and they take their request to the Lord. Verses 6 of Numbers 20. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meetings and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take your staff and assemble the congregation, you and your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle. The people were thirsty. They complained against Moses and Aaron, and just as God did with their parents, he was gracious to them. He was merciful to them. He was going to still provide water from them out of a rock. And it's the same rock that the parents experienced water from. He was going to bring water from that same rock. This should remind us that God is always faithful to his promises. He's merciful. So you can be assured, when you tell your children that God will provide, that's a good promise. God will provide. He's gracious God, full of compassion, full of mercy. But unfortunately, though, you and I are often not. Moses, in our text, demonstrates the tendencies of the human heart. Here's what I've discovered when looking at the human heart. We love to receive mercy. When we have messed up, we have made a mistake, when we have offended somebody, we are quick to plead for mercy. But we are not so willing to show it to others. And so while God was eager to be merciful and gracious to people, Moses got frustrated with them. And what we have learned already this morning is frustration leads to failure. Moses gathers the congregation, and this is what he said to them in verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. I mean, you can just hear the frustration in Moses' voice. And it was, and all it did was reveal what was already in Moses' heart. We get a clear picture of this from Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33. They, the Israelites, angered him, Moses, at the waters of Meribah. And it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. What was in his heart came out of his lips. Moses disciplines the people for their behavior, and he calls them rebels. But here's the thing. Did God tell Moses to say that? There wasn't supposed to be any commentary with this miracle. But Moses saw an opportunity, in many respects, to say what he thinks God should have said. And you and I, we do that often, don't we? We like to play the role of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives, saying to them what we think God should be saying to them. Here was Moses' problem. And it's our problem, too, when we imitate Moses in this situation. Moses thought himself to be more like God than the people. He forgot, even though he was called a shepherd to the sheep, he forgot that he was a sheep himself. And anytime you do that, you are going to find yourself frustrated with people. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we need to be careful how we speak to those who have sinned. We must always remember the grace of God. If God doesn't condemn someone but desires to show them mercy, so should we. James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You want to judge other people without mercy? Go ahead. Judge others without mercy. But we see here, but don't expect to receive mercy. But the one who will show it, they themselves will receive it. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Moses was frustrated because he put himself in the place of God instead of putting himself in the place of the people. But that wasn't Moses' only issue. Moses was disobedient. God told Moses and Aaron to gather the congregation and to speak to the rock, and that water would come from the rock. But Moses struck the rock. Very similar to what he did in Exodus 17. The Lord told him in Exodus 17 to strike your rock with your staff. But this time, he says, speak to the rock. And you may say, well, that seems pretty petty, right? Hitting, speaking, what's the big deal? Obedience is the big deal. Moses and Aaron, throughout their lives, they have been very careful to do what the Lord had commanded. Nothing more, nothing less. When we first see them together, they called the people of Israel out of Egypt, that the Lord was going to lead them out of Egypt. They were very careful to say what the Lord told them. To go in front of Pharaoh, God tells them what to say to Pharaoh, and Moses and Aaron say everything that the Lord commanded them to say. When they're on the banks of the Red Sea, the Lord tells Moses, take out your staff in your hand and stretch it out over the waters, and you will pass through the Red Sea. What did Moses do? He got to the Red Sea, stretched out his staff over the waters, and the Lord parted the Red Sea. This time, however, Moses varies from the script. His frustration led to failure. He disobeyed God. But Moses and Aaron's disobedience here reminds us that we are all susceptible in listening to our own voices rather than listening to the voice of God. Parents, elders, deacons, pastors, we must always be careful to follow this Bible. If Moses, who spoke to God face to face, could succumb to sin, how much more could we? Moses put himself in the place of God. He was disobedient. But there was another sin that led God to pronounce discipline on Moses and Aaron. And we read that in Numbers 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I had given them. That's a sober discipline. Moses and Aaron, because of their unbelief, caused them to miss entering the promised land. Their actions flawed God's glory. Listen to what they say. Shall we, Moses is talking to the Israelites, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Now, I could imagine what God's saying. Moses, who's we? Right? Rock, what are you talking about? Miracles. Brothers and sisters, they are the will and they are the power of God. He was the one that was going to bless the children. God was going to take care of them. Moses, he was simply a messenger in all this. But instead, Moses attributes this miracle to he and Aaron. Shall we bring water? Not only did he ruin the glory of God, stealing it and taking it for he and Aaron, he undermined the sovereignty of God. God planned to bring water out of the rock through the verbal command of Moses, not through the striking of the rock. But Moses decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands, trusting in himself over the sovereign plan of the Lord. And here's the deal, brothers and sisters. When you ruin the glory of God, we undermine his sovereignty. You are demonstrating unbelief. It's unbelief. You don't trust the plans and purposes of God. You and I exhibit many times disobedience, and God does not tolerate unbelief. Moses and Aaron found that out. They weren't going to enter the promised land. They would die in the wilderness. As I said earlier, this is a very tragic story. I mean, when you think about it, it's a sad story for Moses. The one who was called to lead this people out of Egypt, the one who has been the leader of Israel for years, he was in the wilderness. Remember, Moses was the one who had the vision of the promised land. He was going to lead the children to the promised land. Moses had to deal with these stiff-hearted, rebellious people. He called them his family for 40 years, and now on the brink of going into the promised land, he doesn't get to go in. It's like running 99 yards and going out of bounds at the 1 yard line and not scoring a touchdown. Moses wasn't going to get in. It's a sad and tragic story about sin and how serious and significant it is. But it's a glorious reminder for us, if we see it rightly. It's a glorious reminder for us. And I can guarantee it was a good reminder for the original readers of this account. We learn that our trust is not in Moses. It is not in human people. Moses was a huge figure in Israel. I mean, he spoke to God face to face. You listen to the writers of the New Testament and they see Moses as a hero in their respect. He led them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He went through the wilderness. But Moses could not be the savior of the nation. His sin at Meribah proved that no matter how great the leader, God's people need a sinless savior. And here's the reality and here's the glorious part. Although Moses and Aaron would not enter the promised land in Canaan, but because we have a sinless Savior, because of Jesus, Moses and Aaron will enter the promised land of the new heaven and the new earth. God would keep his promise to Moses and Aaron to take them into the promised land. He would keep his promise to them to get them home, because our God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. You know, for a long time, I had a hard time. I had a hard problem. I was bothered by the fact that God didn't allow Moses into the promised land. I sympathized with Moses in his one moment of weakness. And I wondered, did God judge Moses too harshly? I was also bothered by the fact that I was bothered. It's not good to stay in a place where you criticize God's judgment or question his character. Whenever you read the Bible and you find your sensibilities don't line up with how God is described, you and I, we face a choice. You can reject God's ways and stand in judgment over him, or you can submit to God's ways and ask him to transform your sensibilities until they're more in line with his word. Sometimes the areas where God most offends us are the areas where you and I need to grow the most. In studying Moses' actions here in Numbers 20 more closely, I've come to understand that it would have been unfair for God to overlook Moses' sin in this instance. Why? Because Moses did the same thing that the wandering generation of Israelites had done. Disobedient. God said, because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy, Moses' frustration caused him to not trust God. And without faith, one can't enter the promised land. And all of our sins come down to this. You and I don't trust God. We don't trust that God is for us. We don't depend on Him as our rock. We stand in judgment over others. We get frustrated and impatient. We resent God's grace towards others. We think that God doesn't love us or want the best for us. Trace the sin of disobedience, of frustration in your heart, backwards, and you'll arrive at the sin of faithlessness. But even here, even though Moses was sinful and the people are completely undeserving, God still gave them water. And He still allowed Moses the chance to look over the promised land before he died. Even in judgment, God shows mercy. Numbers 20 doesn't bother me anymore. It challenges me, as God always intended it to. I'm thankful for the warnings in this story, the story provides. I'm thankful also, even in this act of judgment, God's heart of holy love shines through. This is a tragic account in many respects. But it's also a glorious reminder, as I said earlier, to not put our hope in human leaders. They will frustrate you. That frustration will lead to failure. But I can tell you this, that those who put their hope and their trust in Jesus will never fail. He will get you home, the sinless one. He's the one that takes us into the promised land, and we can fully believe that God is trustworthy and that He is faithful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. But we all struggle with frustration, myself included. Lord, may we not pass it over as something that happens to everyone, that happens to us every day. But may we recognize the seriousness of that sin. May we recognize the heart issue. Thank You for this story of Moses. Thank You that You are so sovereign to the people and to Moses and to Aaron. Thank You that You'll be merciful to us as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.